We have to see in Tov Reish Beis. Seder Aseh Esim Etshuva. Halach Vaseh Esim Etshuva, and I would like to maybe even reach Tov Reish Dalet. Let's see. Okay. Seder Aseh Esim Etshuva, Boi Sif Echot, Misanin Lemochaz Rosh Hashanah, Vu Tanas Tzibur. There is a fast on the day after Rosh Hashanah, and that's considered Tanas Tzibur. Yes, of course, that's Tzom Gedalia. Tzom Gedalia, according to many poskim, is very lenient. We mentioned that earlier, because he might always be considered Tanis Nitche, because Gedalia ben Achikam was actually killed on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore the Tanis really should be on Rosh Hashanah. But we can't do a fast on Rosh Hashanah, therefore it's postponed to the day after Rosh Hashanah. But since the real date should be Rosh Hashanah, so therefore, according to some, we always got a leniency of a Tanis Nitche, according to some. So it's a very lenient fast day out of all the fast days. There's an interesting shine in that poskim discussed. It's a wealth of discussion amongst the poskim. What happens if somebody says he can't fast both days? He can't fast Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur a week later. He just can't do it. So the wealth of discussion amongst the poskim, what happens then? If he really says, I can't fast Tzom Gedalia and then afterwards, and then fast again Yom Kippur, I just can't do it. So should he say that, and that some poskim take say that on Tzom Gedalia, that's the mitzvah we've got now. Who knows what's going to be by then? Maybe by then you'll be much better, you'll be okay, you'll be all right. Why it looks so pessimistic, maybe by then you'll be alright. So the mitzvah that you've got is for the moment. Meanwhile, the mitzvah you've got is to fasten some Gedalia. Never mind that it's much more lenient and it's only the Rabbanon, etc. Just fasten some Gedalia. What happens then? And if you really can't, then you're going to be an Oinus. You can be an Oinus, and an Oinus is potter from fasting. And therefore, you'd be actually exempt from fasting on Yom Kippur, and you fasten some Gedalia. That's what some poets can say. Others disagree, and they say, no, what do you mean? Yom Kippur is chorus, and is very, very severe. Tzom Gedalia is much more lenient, so therefore, if you have to choose between the two, some say you have to go for Yom Kippur, and you leave on Tzom Gedalia. That's a discussion amongst the poskim. Some argue that it's not even possible. Somebody has got, he's going to get back. If you can't take longer than 3-4 days to get back onto your feet after fast day. So some say that it's a bit of a, how long can you still be weakened by a fast day? Some argue that it can't be genuinely a shaila, but there's definitely discussion amongst the poskim. What happens if you can't do both? Okay, Seif Aleph. B'chol ha'yomim bein Rosh Hashanah liyom Kippur ma'abim b'tfilas v'tachnunim, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we increase the tfilas and v'tachnunim, we daven more. The Mishnah Berurah excludes Shabbos. B'chol yomim, it's if cotton base says levat m'Shabbos. M'Shabbos, Shabbos is regular Shabbos. You don't really do much more. It says the Ramova Oimrim Avinu Malkeinu Erev Boiki. We say Avinu Malkeinu in the morning and evening. Milvat b'Shabbos, excluding Shabbos. Fadim also Avinu Malkeinu. All assessing mitzvah. Only Shachris Menot. But that's interesting. Over here, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is not evident over here. But the Ramo certainly says we say Avinu Malkeinu morning and evening. Afilu chal mila, even if there is a bris mila in shul, she'enum tachnun, normally we wouldn't say tachnun, afilu hochi, oim avinu malkeinu, we will still say avinu malkeinu is not connected whatsoever to tachnun. So therefore, even if tachnun is omitted, you will still say avinu malkeinu. Ve'oimrim continues the remor, b'chol yoim sholesh pomim vidui, koidim alois ha'shacha.
Shachrit and mincha.
Sfadim say shachris and mincha. Ein mincha, like the Ashkenazim. Okay. Continues the Ramah, ve'oimrim b'chol yom sholesh pa'amim vidui koidim alois ha'shacha. We will say 3 times vidui before the actual morning, before the start of the morning, as you're saying, slichas milvat be'ev yom kippah, shein oimrim oisel pa'am achat ev yom kippah, you will only say vidui once. Ve'ein noist im cherem, you will not put somebody in cherem during asayis im etshuva, ve'chein ma'ashpin odom beveiz din, and you will not ask a person to swear, to make a shvur in beis din, ad ach yom kippur, until after yom kippur. So if there's any reason why you'd have to ask somebody to make a shvur, or you'd have to ask somebody to put in cherem, you will not put somebody in cherem during asayis im etshuva. Because it's days of din, and it's also you're awakening the powers of din, of judgment during those days, so you better avoid it until you push it off until after Yom Kippur. Ein mekatshin malavona. You will not make kiddush levona at matz Yom Kippur until after Yom Kippur. Veshabbos shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, haminig loyma boy tzidkoscha. And between Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, the minig is to say tzidkoscha by mincha. Now, just going back to ein mekatshin malavona at matz Yom Kippur. Interesting. He says over here that we do say kiddush levona only after Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, you say Kiddush Levona. You will not say Motzei Shabbos Shuvah. You will not say Kiddush Levona. Is that the minhag? Or is that not the minik? Is that the minik? Is that the minik? Yeah? Mishnebure tzivkot niyut. Ad motzik yom kippah. The kiddush levono yoyser toiv kshir mevusim v'simcha. The kiddush levono always has to be done on a motzik Shabbos or on a motzik yom tov. So Mishnebure first of all addressed over here that do it straight after yom kippah because you're then dressed, your Shabbos tick, and you meant to do it straight after when you're still Shabbos tick and Shabbos tick clothed. Over Medrash is the Medrash says, Motzim Kippurim Baskol Yoitzis Vemeres. On Motzim Kippur, the Baskol goes out and says, Leich, go, Echoil, eat Pesimcha, go and eat Pesimcha. You should go and eat and enjoy yourself, rejoice, because Hashem heard your tefillahs, and therefore there's a extreme simcha on Motzeh Yom Kippur. But then he says the following: Avol da, you should know the kamo achoinim, some achoinim iskimu, have agreed she yoyser toiv. It is better yet lekayim a mitzvah mekoydem, to fulfill the mitzvah earlier is better. Kedei sheba mitzvah zu yachi eu lekav schos, because this mitzvah will make. Will be decisive. Lekav schos, that we should be written in the books of the tzaddikim. So the Mishneh Berurah here says, unlike the Ramah, says you should wait for Kiddush Levana until Motzei Yom Kippur. Mishneh Berurah says, no. Don't wait. If you can do a mitzvah now, you might need that mitzvah. That might be the decisive mitzvah up there. So you better do it now, Motzei Shabbos of Shabbos Shuvah. Do the Kiddush Levana then. The Shari Tzion brings the Gon, that seems to be the Ikar Halacha. So the Gon seems to be holding that opinion as well. And he says, it's Minhagim. Some people have Noik to, Dafka Noik to do Motzei Shabbos. Some have the Minik to wait until Motzei Yom Kippur. Everybody agrees that in places where there is increased chances that there is going to be clouds and you're going to be running into trouble if you wait to Motzei Yom Kippur, everybody agrees then that you should make it as early as possible. Yeah.
Just going back to something. It says, you say, you do it three times before Alisa Shachar.
It doesn't have to be Mamash Alisa Shachar. It has to be, is that what the point are you making?
Yeah. The other point is, I remember in Yeshiva we did it once.
Ah, yeah? Ah, yeah, I don't remember that. So that's interesting. I'm not sure. I don't remember that. I don't know.
It does mention here on the side too, the same thing.
I don't know. I think generally the minhag is to say it three times. I don't know, it's like three times. Yeah, you're right. I see. I don't know. Yeah, it's true. There could be, it could be different. Yeah. Yeah, there could be, it seems that there is a minig like that. Yes, it's true. That the halacha says, in the Shulchan Aruch says itself, that toiv is better to say once be kavana rather than three times without kavana. So that's probably where the minig comes from. And then after he goes very good, mamash zooming. Yeah. So he would be, you're right. You're 100% right. No, it's interesting. It's a very interesting point. Because the Shulchan Aruch does say, in Chelek Aleph, in Mishneh Berurah Chelek Aleph, in Hilchos Tefillah, Mishneh Berurah does say, the Halacha Shulchan Aruch says, better to say something once, but Kavana, with great Kavana, rather than say something, to say the same thing many times without Kavana. So surely that would be a reason to go according to that.
What's the secret? How did they do it?
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure. West Ham spoke about this once when I was in Manchester.
Oh, yeah? And what did he say?
Tucker said. He said it's. Well, he seemed to think it was not a good idea to say it three times.
Not to say it three times.
He strongly felt that it was a. Well,
better to say it once properly rather than three times without Kavana.
I can't remember what he said, but it sounded like he wasn't so impressed with the Minhag to say it three times.
Uh-huh.
Together.
Okay. Yeah, could be. It's the Ramah, but yeah, it could be. Where's that?
In sixth end of sixth.
Yeah. Okay, that's in it. That's the quotation over here is a quotation not from Halacha Sefer, it's a quotation from a biography. So I wonder if that's how. I mean, it could be. I'm not denying it. I'm just saying that. No, it could, I'm not. I'm just saying that the earlier Ma'amokim that you the first one is a very strong Ma'amokim Maaserav of the Gon. That's a very powerful Makor. But and you're right. If in Yeshiva, that's what we did. If that's what's done in Yeshivas, that's definitely makes sense. Yeah.
Says Erev Avoyke. I think you mentioned, don't we say it in Mincha?
Yeah, that's what he's referring to. Yeah. Right. So that's the just a little footnote, if I may. There is always a bit in Eretz Yisrael. It's not so nagah, I suppose. With regards to getting Dalet Minim in Aseh Simei Tshuva. Yeah, it is Nagia as well. Aseh Simei Tshuva. I can tell you that I got once the shivers because I was once trying to get an esrog when I was in Yerushalayim. I was trying to get an esrog, really, really nice esrog, and I was trying to, you know, as early as I did an aser simet shuvah. You get still a lot of schoiret. You know, I didn't want to wait until last minute, so I thought I'm not going to wait until after Yom Kippur. I'm going to be getting in during esrog, and I was busy, and I was looking for, and I found a really nice esrog, and it was before Yom Kippur. I got a nice esrog. So I was very excited about it, and I want to show it to my Rebbe, because I don't know, it was just before Shia, after Shia, I'm not sure exactly, but I showed it to my Rebbe, Rebbe von Shmulevitz, and he told me, as I was on to show him this esrog, and then I showed it to him, and then before he even looks at it, he says, Mamash gave me the shivers, I remember this now, this must be, I don't know how many years ago, he says, mit Tshuva hast du schon geendigt? With Tshuva, you're finished already? Like, well, Tshuva, you're finished, now you can go into the esrog. Tshuva, you're finished already, now that's it, you're okay now, you can just pray. And it just made a very big impact on me, because I say some Tshuva, we tend to already think about sukkahs, and it's all right, it's fine, it's okay. But on the other hand, we have to realize, I say some Tshuva, as is brought an aloch over here, we should still put emphasis on Tshuva and that. Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to point this out. Okay, there is a very interesting behetiv over here, and I don't know why this behetiv, I don't remember seeing this behetiv when we learned Kiddush Levona. In behetiv in Sifkot and Dalet, says a fascinating point over here. If you look in the behetiv Sifkot and Dalet, Mishnah doesn't quote him at all, but he said Levush Kosa, the Levush says, V'ani shemat ish ad rabbe toiv sheikat she'oysa kiddush tova mitzvah zu. The Levush also says, better to do Kiddush Levona not on Motzi Yom Kippur, but do it straight away on Motzi Shabbos. It's better to do it straight away. But toys about chiyoseinu when he adds to our chiyos. Kosev ha'echodosh. The echodosh writes. Listen to that. Maase, a story happened. She'echod be'echod with one fellow. She'pogu anosim balaylom. Evil people, they threatened him in the night. They went up to him and they threatened him. V'rotzu le'orgo, they wanted to kill this individual. Uvikesh she'nicholoy lases mitzvah achas. And he requested one last request. Please, can I just do one more mitzvah? Can I do one more mitzvah? Before you kill me, I want to do one more mitzvah. Koide Moise, before he's being killed. Ve'alevona hoise bechidusha. And the Levona, the moon, it was the right time to do Kiddush Levona. Ve'kitcha, and it was Mekadosh Levona, bekavona gdoila, with great kavona. Ve'naas aloi neis, listen to Be'heitev, in the name of Oil Chodosh. And a great neis happened to this individual. Kshedilek gimel po'omim, when he jumped three times. Yeah, we jump three times, keminek, like the minek, v'noso yaruach. As he was jumping, the wind blew this individual, v'nitzel mehem, and he was saved. The wind blew, he was jumping up, and the wind blew him, must have been a strong wind, a nace, and he was saved. Isn't that unbelievable? That's the behavior brings this incident. Fascinating. V'gam shamat, and he adds, and I also heard, Shemisha Kiddush Levona, somebody who made Kiddush Levona, Miyoim Shekitcha, from the day that he did Kiddush Levona, Shuv, Lo Yidak, Shomus, Boyz, Chodesh. You are safe for that month, you're not going to die. In that month that you make Kiddush Levona. It's unbelievable. For the entire month, if you do Kiddush Levona, you are safe. I think this behetiv is an interesting behetiv. Interesting that it's not, I don't remember this being quoted at all when we learned Kiddush Levona, Hilchas Kiddush Levona, at the end of Chelek Dalet. But this over here is really interesting. No, that's what he said. Very interesting. Okay. Tov reish gimel. Vod is safe echot. Tov reish gimel. Af mi she'einu nizam apash shel akum. Even somebody, famous halacha, even if somebody is not careful generally throughout the year to eat pas shel akum, pas nochi, pas palta, ba'asiris yimei tshuva tzorich lezo. Now we know there's a halacha that pas bread of paspalta, bread which is commercially made by a goy, and you are convinced about the ingredients that are fine, there is really allowed to eat it. If there's no, it's okay. It's okay. It's permitted to eat. There's no bishlakum, it's okay. However, there's a chumra not to refrain from eating bread which was produced, which was baked by a goy. It's a chumra. You don't have to. It's a chumra. The Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here that somebody who generally throughout the whole year is mekil on that, it doesn't have that chumra on him. He's eating goyish bread pas nochi throughout the year on aser simet shuva, throughout the days of aser simet shuva, he should refrain from eating that bread during aser simet shuva. Now, First of all, I just want to point on a very technical note that apparently this was only true in the times in the earlier generations that bread was made out of flour and water. Nowadays, bread has got many more ingredients. I heard that one particular factory has over 100 ingredients and sub-ingredients for a loaf of bread. But even if you don't go that high, there is no doubt about it. There's many, many ingredients which are part of the bread. So therefore, nowadays, bread, which is made by a goy, if there's no heksha, there's no question about it that it's a problem. It has nothing to do with pas shel nochi. If you're buying a Sainsbury bread, a Tesco bread, or anything like that, you're going to be into serious halachic shailas, and this has nothing to do with pas shel nochi. Just to get that clear, because there's shailas of ingredients. This happened. The poskim pointed out from the last maybe 100 years or so that these ingredients are not just flour, are not just flour and water, and therefore you're running in very severe problems. There's oils and there's fat and the enzymes. There's lots of other shailas as well. So therefore, that's for sure. Just to make that clear. However, there's this interesting point over here of pas shel nochi. Now, one of the questions, which is such a strong question over here, okay, so you're normally lenient. Okay, normally, there's nothing wrong with it. You're allowed to eat pas shel palta during the day. You're allowed to. So knowing that for 10 days now, you're going to be trying to be machmir. Okay, it's not a big deal because you've got a few days. It's not a big deal. 10 days, you'll manage. You're going to buy more expensive bread for the 10. But who are you trying to fool over here? Who am I trying? You know exactly, after 10 days, you're allowed to go back to your original leniency. So who are you trying to fool? For 10 days, you're trying, do you understand? Who are you trying to fool? Do you agree to the question? You know very well, you know that just keeping this for 10 days, we're not asking somebody to change all his ways. It's not, he's allowed to, it's just for, listen to the Amechaba. Even if somebody is not careful, generally, during that Seisim Etshuva, you should be careful. So what happens after Seisim Etshuva? You'll have to go back to initial leniency. So who are you trying to fool? Yeah. No, this is clearly referring to the chumrah of pas palta, of goyish bread, not the ingredients. If the ingredients would be a problem, this was still in the times that we're talking about generally the leniency of pas palta. So therefore,
it's really basic.
Therefore, it's the only problem over here is a problem that it's baked by a goy. The fact that it's baked by a goy is a problem. Is a chumrah. You're allowed to really eat bread which was baked by a goy. It's a stringency that we don't. So that stringency is just for Seisim Etshuva.
It's different than nowadays.
It's different than nowadays. You're right. So nowadays this wouldn't apply. You can't eat.
You can't. Treat this Shulchan Aruch as normal now.
Correct. Nowadays this isn't. But the concept, I'm asking on the concept. We're asking on the concept that what is the point of doing a stringency for 10 days only? We're trying to fool, yeah.
Sounds like it's on the cloud rather than on the yachid. If there was a yachid, then I choose which things I decide I want to work on the Aseres Metshuva. It probably would be plus palta, and that would be between me and the Rabbani Shlomo. But this isn't really that, because it's a chiv, and it's on the whole kehila.
Right.
And so it sounds like really the thing that you're being mekayim is your menos chachomim, rather than what you're actually...
What you're actually doing. Okay, I hear that. What do you think? 10 days you want to be machmir? Okay. Oh, that's interesting. I want to add, the poskim say that even if pas palta, and that goes back to your point, even if pas palta is not negiah nowadays, as you're saying correctly, nevertheless, there is that concept still brought down in the poskim, in the sforim, even the Moses forum, this is brought down, that for Aseisim Etshuva, you should pull yourself a little bit and do some chumras during Aseisim Etshuva. That even though you know very well, you're not going to do it afterwards anymore. So again, you're explaining that a little bit. Okay, I want to explain that in two ways. One is one mahalach I heard from Rav Zilberstein, a grandson of Rav Eliashiv, and one is from my father-in-law. Let me just very briefly explain both, because both are really interesting. Rav Zilberstein gives a marshal, and he says, imagine you've got a boat that is stationed on a port, and you've got a rope that is, so he says, it's after a bit of time, yeah, you tighten it, and you tighten it around, but is that, well, those called? It's not a pillar. What is it? Do you know what I mean? You tighten it.
An anchor?
No. It's a. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? Okay, so he says what's going to happen after a bit of time, it gets loose naturally, it gets a bit, it gets looser, looser, and looser, and the boat distances itself a little bit, yeah? He says, every now and then, if you don't want the boat to just go off totally, you have to pull back the rope and tighten it again. So Rav Zilberstein said the same with this as well, that every year we have to pull back the rope a little bit and tighten it again. He says, otherwise we just go on, if we go further and further and further, and after a few years, who knows where we would find us, where we would find us. He says, every year you need to tighten yourself a little bit, and that's, it's true, the chumrah is not going to last for very long. But if you wouldn't tighten ourselves back again, if we wouldn't pull ourselves back a little bit, then who knows what would be after accumulation of a few years. That's Rav Zilberstein's mahalach, which I think is very beautiful. My father-in-law, Zang Zund, gives another mahalach. He says, very, very nice. I heard this a few times from father-in-law in the name of Rav Feldman, I think. He told me that it's as if, imagine somebody, you have got a peasant who is invited, a simple peasant who is invited to the king's house. Whatever the reason is, he's invited to the king's house, in the king's palace. He's invited, he's got, he's invited, invitation to go to. So imagine the peasant would say, listen, I'm a peasant. I look like a peasant, I am a peasant. And he goes in with his boots, his muddy boots, and his dirty clothes, and he goes into the palace like that. And people say, what are you doing? You go hiking, you can't go to the king like this. He says, no, I'm a peasant, that's what I look like. He says, but all the, when you go into the king, you have to dress yourself accordingly. You have to, you know, sew yourself out a bit. When you go into the king, you know, you have to be dressed accordingly. So my father-in-law said the same. I say, Simetshuva, we are by the king. It's days that we are a bit more royal. We have to look after spiritually. It's royal days. So we have to look after. It's true that after we're going to go back home, after our audience by the king, we're going to put back our farmer clothes. It's inevitable. We're going to change again. We're going to be again farmers. But at least during, we're going to be peasants again. We're going to be simple people again. But at least during the 10 days that we're between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, that we're close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, at least then we should be a bit more royal and we should be careful with things. These are two mahalchim, why it's nothing wrong with, quote, quote, fooding ourselves for these 10 days. Yeah, does that make sense? Okay. Okay, continues the Ramah. Hagav, v'yesh lekol adam lechapes v'lefashpesh b'masav. Every person is to seek and to examine his actions, v'losh of mahem, and return with return b'aseisim et tshuva, to return into tshuva during aseisim et tshuva. That it's an obligation to do tshuva during aseisim et tshuva. The Mishneh Berurah in Sif Katan Beis adds the following point. Mishneh Berurah says you should read the Igeres HaTshuva for Ben Yoyin V'ari Kosav Shechiyuv Lilmot B'Sifrei Musa Kol HaShana. Is it a person an obligation to read Musa, to learn Musa every day? This is definitely a V'chen Kosav HaGrob B'Mishle B'Kama M'Koymus Ma'asira. It brings from the Gaon that it's appropriate to learn Musa every single day. This is the source. This is the source of the daily Musa of Dirshu. A person should definitely, during those 10 days, should do like the opinion of the Zoya. Do a little bit of tshuva before you go to bed. Think a minute about what you've done during the day. And think a little bit about the avdilus you've done throughout the day. At the very least, during Aseisim Metshuva, but ideally the whole year, you should think a little bit about what you've done during the day. Rabbi Yonis Naibishit writes the following concept. You've got 10 days of Aseisim Metshuva. Knock off Yom Kippur and knock off Rosh Hashanah. It's only 7 days left. Those 7 days, says Rabbi Yonis in Yaris Dvash, those 7 days are equivalent to the 7 days of the week. Monday is against all the Mondays of the year. Tuesday is against all the Tuesdays of the year. And he says, V'chol yoyim yaseh tshuva al oysu yoyim. On the Monday of Aseisim Metshuva, I can do tshuva for all the Mondays of the year. Tuesday of Aseisim Metshuva, I can do tshuva for all the Tuesdays of the year. That's what he says. That's what I can do throughout that's the secret of Aseisim Metshuva according to Rabbi Yonason, according to Yaris Dvash. There is over here in Sif Katan Dalet an interesting Mishneh Berurah which says the following. Somebody who hired a person to go on a way, leilech to go on a bedech venerak, and he got killed. Nochon, it is right shekabel tshuva. It's right to the tshuva. Now this halacha v'yev, which is from earlier achronim. Again, a person was hired by someone else, and the person who was hired got killed on the way. So the person who sent him, who hired him, has to do tshuva. And I'll tell you where this halacha was very, very nega. Where this halacha unfortunately came up was just very recently with the attack in Mumbai. How many years ago was it? Was it 4 or 5 years ago? Yeah, was it that long ago? Yeah? Okay, so over there, one of the Yidden who got killed by the attack was actually a very senior mashgiach for Kasher's authority in America. And he was sent by the Kasher's authority. He actually didn't really want to go so much, but he was very senior, he was an expert. And he was sent by the Kasher's authority, and he got killed on the way. So the question was actually started off when they were discussed after a few weeks, that the children were discussed, the family were discussing, the children of that family, they felt that they have to be supported by the organization or Kasher authority that sent them. And there was a bit of a discussion there because they felt, well, it's really unfortunate and our hearts are going out for you, but financially we have done no wrong. I mean, you can't really have a financial... But that's where this Mishneh Berurah became quite famous over here. Because this discussion was about this Mishneh Berurah over here. Because the Mishneh Berurah says, Echot shetol chaveru lelech bederech v'nerak, somebody sends somebody and gets killed, nochon shekabel tshuva. And the Mamakomas over there are brought seem to indicate that person who sent somebody and he gets killed on the way, which is really what happened, they have a certain obligation to do tshuva. Well, it means they have some responsibility. If that's the case, they have some responsibility, surely they have also some financial responsibility towards the family. And that's where what do you think about that?
This is why in this way we're supporting the widows of army soldiers. This is based.
Ah, I don't know. That's very interesting. What a nice comparison. I don't know, but that's would go with, that would... Yeah, that would that might fit with that. It's an interesting point.
I used to work in Israel for one of the videos of the famous 11 athletics in Munich.
Ah, yeah?
And her daughters, he left her with three daughters, and they went in support when they were in university.
Really? They were supported? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I wonder if that's an interesting connect. Yeah, interesting comparison. Yeah. Interesting comparison. Yeah, what do you think about that, Abba Isai? Yeah, but this is actual.
But that was part of his work, so it's not like. I mean, if they sent him there, look, it's actually dangerous, but it's something you've got to do. That might be said, but it's just you know, that part of his job. He goes to India, he goes to China, whatever. I mean, it's not to take responsibility. It's going a bit too far.
Yeah? Yeah, do you agree? Yeah. Pardon?
You didn't say anything about financial.
Yeah, that's very true.
You could have said an enormous job. I had a friend who worked in a carpet company and they wanted to send him to Iran. And he said, I'm not going.
Yeah? So you're saying that everybody, ultimately, you're responsible for your own. Yeah. Yeah, he could have said, I'm not going and finished. I'll find another job. Yeah, what do you think about it? It's an interesting point. No, but that's Mishneh Berurah. That's what the discussion was about, this Mishneh Berurah. I don't know I don't know exactly, but I know there was some sort of compromise which was achieved. But I don't exactly know the details of the actual... Mishneh Berurah adds another interesting point over here as well. He brings a few ma'amakomus. He says, after the brackets within Isha Shem Miso Yeled Aledei Grom, if some Nebuch, a woman kills a child... by mistake, he brings an Evan Shoyam, and then he brings a Chuvas Chasam Sofa, if a Moel Nebuch is unsuccessful, and then he brings, if somebody, Achman Al-Etzlan is Berlin Nida, what that Kapor should be, he brings various Mamak. And then at the end he says a very interesting one, which is, Limishi Rotzo Lehatzel V'Toros Hemis Chaveiroi. Somebody is trying to save somebody, and instead of saving him, mistakenly, he actually kills the individual, which is brought down in Shal Tshuva as well. So that could be, of course, very nagea. I'm not sure if there was even such a case, but that could, of course, be if Hatzolah member is volunteering, who is doing the Shem Shemaim, if he's unsuccessful, instead of saving the individual, he's doing something wrong. What would be the halacha then? Well, that's what he's bringing over here, the discussion over here. Right. Okay, we'll start tomorrow with Sim Tovresh. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We should, yeah. Vesofeg, thank you very much. Vesofeg avera tzorich yoset tshuva me'avera vadois. An avera which a person has done, which is not sure he has actually done the avera. He's not sure. Did I bench or did I not bench? Did I speak losh nora? Was I actually okay? If he's not sure, is worse than avera which is done for sure. Why is that? If a person needs more tshuva, more kapor on an avera, which is not sure that he did, rather than if he's done for sure the avera. If you ate something which is for sure treif, You don't need as much kapora as if you're not sure if that was teif or not. Why? That's right. Because if it's a sofek, a person naturally is going to say, ah, maybe it was okay, maybe it was not okay. And naturally you're going to say, ah, maybe it was okay. If you know for sure you've done something wrong, you're naturally going to be feeling very, very bad. That's what he says over here. Sofek avera tzorich yoyse tshuva m'avera vadois. Ki yoyse mischaret, you're more upset. You're more upset than if you knew for sure you did it. V'lachen korban asham tolui, ho tzach yoyse yoyse b'yoyke mechatos. A korban chatos, which is on a Vadai Avera, it's cheaper than Asham Toloi, the carbon of Asham Toloi, which was on a doubt. Yeah, we'll carry on with Sim Tov Rish Dalet tomorrow.